This is segment two, kit culture. Kits are a linchpin to survival. It is the ability. Segment two, kit culture. A linchpin to survival is the ability to respond accurately, effective, and reliably to crisis, large and small, with little to no stress and in a managed and thoughtful manner. Making kits and personally tailoring them to your needs and tastes can greatly aid your path to that end. Let's take a simple day-to-day life experience. You cut your finger. You're bleeding. Maybe you have pain. You're trying to press something on the wound to stay the bleeding. If you don't have a kit ready, stocked, and in hand, you're running around with basically no hands, trying to find the Neosporin, bandages, means to clean the wound. The results are rarely positive in that situation. If you are on the job, maybe you're lucky enough to have a medical kit. Do you know where it is? Is it well stocked? Is it stocked properly for what you need? If not, what are you going to end up with? Duct tape and a paper towel? Electrical tape and a tissue? My approach is that you take each redundant task in life, separate it out, do it one at a time. If you do this over a period of time, in no time, you will be shockingly prepared and blow away even some of the most well-seasoned preparedness people that you know if you take this tactic. Separate each task out, redundant tasks. Analyze the failures and the successes that you've had handling them in the past. What things that it required and the things that you need to fix those problems and to fix them well. Throw them all in a pile. Maybe you make a list first, then you get them and throw them all in a pile. Maybe you already have them all, but they're in disparate locations. Find them, put them in a pile. Find a bag that will allow you to organize those items in a way that you can easily find them and make access to them, where they'll remain dry, clean, and ready for use when you need them. Take the items, separate them into uses, and we're going to use this cut finger or maybe the broader sense of a first aid kit as an example. So you begin. You have cuts and scratches, open wounds. So you have Neosporin and maybe a small vial of hydrogen peroxide. You have a clean, sterile bottle in its own bag that you can use with clean water to irrigate a large wound. Then you have the Neosporin. You have Band-Aids and gauze and large pads and maybe even quick clot for the really massive wounds and packs and Z-packs and on and on. Each one of these things all end up together in that area. So you might break that down into minor cuts and wounds and massive wounds, bleeding. Then you look at burns and you look at sprains where you need splints. So maybe you have some tape and some tongue depressors, or better yet, you have the bendable aluminum finger splints that you can buy. Get them that actually fit your fingers, because if you're going to take it out of a standard set, someone like me who has eight paws, the ones that are for their index finger won't even fit my pinky. So you need to prepare your own kit. That's critical. Put each one of them in separate piles. Put them into high-quality freezer bags. Roll them, get the air out, seal them up, and then mark what it is for. This is a minor cut. This is for major bleed. This is for burn. This is for splint. This is for sprain, so forth and so on. I, by the way, I highly recommend having an eyewash bottle with sterile eyewash solution in it and an eye cup that's with it, all sealed in a sterile container. Because if you get something caustic in your eye, you don't have time to say, hey, you know, want to run down the street to Walgreens and get me that eye cup and the sterile flushing solution. Too late. Have it, put it somewhere where it's marked. Someone can reach into the bag, grab it out for you when you can't. These are critical things. So some other kit ideas I'm going to talk about, because I want to lay this out to put it in your mind. Many of you who have been to my classes that I do on kits, I haven't done one in a while. There is one that I'm planning to do coming up. When you lay them out, you have to break it down into sections. So you may not have as much of a feeling of need or importance for one as for another, but there are some that pretty much everyone needs. So, basic survival. Water purification unit, like a Sawyer, preferably a 0.02, but if you're going to have a small kit, you can pick up the 0.1 or 0.2 unit that they sell in Walmart for a very low price. Food supplies. I highly recommend the Datrex, that's D-A-T-R-E-X, Delta Alpha Tango Romeo Echo X-Ray 3600 calorie food bar. It's a pack. They're tasty. They're edible. They're very small. They're freeze-dried food. You can eat it, and it will give you 3,600 calories per pack. They're very reasonably priced. You can find them on Amazon. They also have SOS survival food bars that are 3,600 calorie. I don't particularly care for the apple cinnamon that they carry in Walmart, but they start around $4 or $5. They're extremely compact, lightweight, and they will save your life. You can keep 10 of them in there, and you would have at least 10 days and way more survival than that. You may not be that happy with eating the same thing all day long every day, but you will certainly not starve to death, and you won't pass out before you get yourself to safety. They are highly recommended items to place in your kit. Then there are some other things. One of the things is the SOS emergency survival tent. They are very, they're small, they're lightweight, they're easy to use, they look like a tube, they're really, really lightweight. You can get them very reasonably in Walmart and other locations. I highly recommend that. They're crinkly, they make a lot of noise in the wind, but you won't freeze to death and you won't get exposure. And by the way, in the summer, as much as in the winter, you need shelter. If you don't go that route, get yourself a good nylon tarp, lightweight, balls up, folds up really small and tight. One caution. If you're looking in the camping section in places like Walmart or Kmart and other like similar places, you will find some really cool tarps, but some of them are only 5x7. If you're like me and you're over 6 foot tall, 5x7 isn't going to cut it, because once you fold it once, you have shortened the distance end to end, and if that's the case, your feet are going to hang out. So you may need two in order to cover yourself up well, and some paracord to make yourself a basic shelter. But these are things to consider to have in a kit. You can put all of that into an old-fashioned World War II Army shaving kit that's no bigger than 10 by 5. You can find similar pouches that go for about $5 or $6 in Harbor Freight. They go on sale. They're a great deal. They're all small. You can get a white paint pen and write on the outside of the black bag what it is, so that you can have 10 of them stacked up, grab the one you need, and go. You can put some in your car, in your trunk, or in the back of your hatch, whatever your vehicle is, and have them with you. They're easy to identify. Other things that you want to consider also are things like your vehicle kits. Here's the basic premise. You should always have a spare pair of shoes. What if you're out? Most men hopefully aren't going to be out in open-toe shoes. But one way or another, you should have closed-toe shoes that have good tread and are resilient to protect your feet so that you can do hard labor. If you had to climb out of your vehicle and up off of an embankment that you slide off of, if you have to get out into mud or snow, no matter what, they should be sprayed with waterproofing to keep your feet dry. They should be capable of giving you traction when you go to walk. If you're in high heels and you're a woman and you need to get out and do something like change your tire, you don't want to try to do that in spikes. You may get a lot of attention and a lot of offers for help, but it may not be positive in that effect. A set of resilient work gloves. I recommend two. Thick leather welding gloves, because you can use them to grab things that are sharp and things that are jagged and move them around, things like wood and trees and logs, so that you're not going to get torn up. And then you want a set of mechanics gloves that give you dexterity, but you can keep them on. And I'd also recommend some 9mm nitrile gloves. They have endless uses, from in the bathroom or where you're needing to go to bathroom when you don't have the ability to wash your hands after. Lots of reasons that you have that. These go into a kit. Put the shoes sideways in a bag. Seal them up. And by the way, I'd also recommend getting one of those white moon suits. You can get one for about $10, $12 in the painting section. It will keep your clothes clean, but moreover, it can offer you one more layer of protection from dust and all kinds of negative outside attacking things that are going to bother you. So like mosquitoes and whatnot, if you have to work in an area where there's a big infestation, those moon suits are unbelievably useful for that while you're working on your vehicle to get free. Then some sub-kits I want to talk about for a minute, because if you get the feel for this, you can come up with your own ideas. Don't just base them on mine. This is just to kickstart your little gray cells to get you in the direction that it takes to help yourself. So, let's look at the way that we put together and design a kit. Like I said, take any redundant thing, take it apart, look at what was needed, what you didn't have, what someone else offered to save you, and then start. So, let's talk about a dead battery. So, you need a set of good, high-quality, 2-gauge jumper cables. You can find them for a very reasonable price at Tractor Supply. If you go to Napa stores, a lot of times you'll find them there. They should be 20 feet long. If you can find 25 feet long, that's even better. It's about the average length from one battery back behind that car to the broken down car, so that they don't have to turn around on the highway to get to you. They can reach from one spot to the other without moving. I'd also highly recommend the Schumacher brand 1200 amp jump box. They are only $99 in Walmart. It's less money than you'll pay for a good seat at a baseball game or a hockey game. It will save your butt when you're in trouble, and certainly give you a level of comfort knowing that if you keep it charged, you can put it in your trunk. And if you have a dead battery, you don't have to wait to beg someone to give you a jump. You can jump out and start your own vehicle with the jump box. It also will have an air compressor, not the greatest one in the world, but it will work. It has a light on it so that you can light the area to see where the battery cables go when you're going to put them on before you do it. All of that should go into a bag. Protect it from being smashed and scraped up. Put it all in one place. So you grab that bag. You say, I have a dead battery. Where's the dead battery bag? Out it comes and you're done. Tire care. You should have a tire gauge, a tire compressor. You should have a a plug kit. Talk to your local mechanic or someone that you know who is skilled with vehicles. Get them to look at your tires. Tell them that you want to figure out how to do it. Maybe the guy, you can give him $10 and he'll show you how to use a tire plug in an old throwaway tire that he has at the gas station or the repair shop that you go to. You can get a good high quality kit at places like Advanced Auto Parts and AutoZone. I highly recommend having them get an extra tube of the glue, the rubber glue, because people tend to open them and not seal them right, and it dries out. Now you have the patches, but you don't have the glue. It is really easy. I've taught many women and children even to do it, and they can do it successfully. A fluids bag for your vehicle. Put together or a basket. You can buy baskets now that go in the trunk, or grab an old milk crate and plastic milk crate and put the things in there. You should have at least 1 5-quart oil. I would recommend having an oil filter if you ever go off-road or you go where there's lots of stones and potential for damage to the underside of your vehicle. One of the common things is breaking a hole in your oil filter. If you have an oil filter and 5 quarts of oil, you're in good shape. I highly recommend having at least a quart of Lucas oil or Rizlone motor honey. This will take care of a plethora of things. If you get water in your gas, if you have mystery oil or you have sea foam, you can place that into the fuel. They have a fuel additive for that, and it helps to take it out. A bottle or two of heat or some other isopropyl alcohol that is made to, they sell it in the winter as a gas line antifreeze. And really what it is that it absorbs and mates with the water in your gas and takes it out so that it doesn't damage your engine and you can drive. Brake fluid is another really important one, because if you end up short, you may be able to just put fluid in order to get safely off the highway to somewhere where you can have help. Remember, even if you don't know what to do with the supply that you have in your kit, you may have someone there who does. Things, for instance, like a broken serpentine belt. That's the end. But if you have a belt and you have someone who says, well, gee, if you had a belt, I would put it on for you. And you say, well, as a matter of fact, I happen to have one in the back. For $25 that you put away, or less, sometimes as low as $10, you may save the day and be off and running. Toss them a couple bucks for putting it on there and you're rocking and rolling. That's what having a kit and being prepared is all about. And each time you encounter a new problem, you learn a new thing that you need to do to tweak that kit, and you adjust the kit, and each time you limit your threat and maximize your survivability rate. That's what kits are all about. Next week, I'm going to talk, if I have time, about personal kits for weather-based and personal kits for your everyday needs when you're mobile. You should have one at home and one in your vehicle, because if you have to up and run, you should have what you need ready to go and all vetted out. So that'll be that for this segment.